And in today's episode, we want to discuss quitting the podcast.
Yes. We've had the podcast for almost a year now. In 2 weeks, it'll be one whole year of us doing it. And we've been talking a lot behind the scenes about what we should do. It's hard to know when to quit something. It really is. Do you continue to do something that's not making you money?
R-O-T-E. Let me present to you the Rotten Podcast. The Rotten Podcast.
How do you want me to say it?
Rotten.
Good morning, Rotten fam. We are back, episode 46. It is Halloween.
Happy Halloween!
The scariest holiday. And what is scarier than quitting itself?
Oh.
I'm not sure there's anything, at least for me personally, that feels more terrifying than giving up.
That's true.
And in today's episode, we want to discuss quitting the podcast.
Yes. But before we get started, let us know what you're wearing for Halloween this year. If
comment
you're already dressed
below.
Up, yeah, let us know what's the costume this year. What's popular? I feel like I'm so out of the loop with Halloween and what's cool and trendy nowadays. I feel like a grandma. I want to know, like, what are people dressed up as?
I wish at the intro there was, like, spooky sound effects and lightning, like, crackling.
We
like,
could add it.
Anyways, should we get into the podcast stuff, or do we want to talk a little bit more about Halloween first?
No, I think we should get into it, because I know last week we did not upload an episode of the podcast, which has only happened 4 times for us.
Which is pretty good.
Pretty
not
freaking
amazing,
good. No.
But still up there.
We've had the podcast for almost a year now. In 2 weeks, it'll be one whole year of us doing it. And we've been talking a lot behind the scenes about what we should do, if we should keep the podcast, if we should quit it, rebrand it. Like, what is going on?
And the only reason we wouldn't want to continue with it is because it is such a hard thing to get off the ground, because we enjoy doing it so much, which is the only reason we've stayed doing it.
Yeah.
But at least for now, it's financially not worth the time investment that we're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of those things where it's like the chicken or the egg. Is it going to be worth doing because we're making money, or is it going to make money because we keep doing it? And I think it's the latter. I think just like anything, of course you could, and you've had so much success, so you are from a position of leverage, sponsorships, you know, your friends doing podcasts, like being able to start off with like a network and those things. But for every other person in the world, little old me's just your average person, you know, it's the grind. It's, you don't get a break. You don't get to stop and say the podcast isn't making money until you've done it for 3 years. And then you could stop and look back and been like, yeah, you got to put the time in to make something valuable.
I think it's really hard as well, because it's so easy to compare our views and our numbers with like other podcasts that we see and love and listen to and watch. I feel like we do put in a lot of effort into our podcast, and we do such a great job hosting, or maybe not. You guys can be honest with us. Like, let me know, like, give us some advice. Maybe we're not doing a good job, but I feel like we do such a good job that it's surprising that we still have yet to get a sponsorship. But at the same time, we haven't put in the effort to try to get a sponsorship at the same time.
Well, I will say on that point, it's like, again, for your average person, not being an influencer, you're not getting sponsorships in your inbox. You're going out and cold calling and reaching out to people, which in our defense, in my defense, we have not done.
Yeah.
So I think that number one, that's a part of it. I think for me, in a shift that I'm trying to make in my life, doing things for a long period of time and mainly doing them because you like to do it and making a great product.
Yeah.
And when I can look back at the year and look back when we make a good episode, like, we're proud of that. Like, that's not necessarily something to give up. Of course, at a certain point, if we want to make a successful podcast and we're deploying resources, really spending intentional time and having meetings and putting our heads together to be like, okay, how can we actually make this worth our time? And then it doesn't work, then it's worth having the conversation. But I think we haven't gone that route yet. And at least we're putting something together that we both really like.
Yes. And also at the same time, there's the question of, do you continue to do something that's not making you money? Because I feel like it's hard to know when to quit something. It really is like it's a relationship. So what's the theory? Like you're almost in a better position if you're worse off than just okay. Yeah. Like if you're okay at your work, you'll kind of just stick around. But if they do something really shitty to you or fire you, it's you're almost better off.
Yeah, it's better you know how in to like quit. Extremes.
Yeah,
it's better to be in a more extreme situation rather than just being like, yeah, you know, it's okay. This relationship's good. It's not great, and there's no reason to end it. Versus someone like cheating on you or like physically assaulting you or doing something that's like completely crossing the line. It is a really tricky place for people to navigate in. And I think most people navigate in that space. Like I've been in that space where I was working a really great job. I was making good money. I wasn't super mentally stimulated.
Yeah.
But there was no reason for me to quit. It wasn't great. And it wasn't terrible. And it like stifled me in a way because there was no exterior force being like, quit, do something better. Most of the world, I feel like, operates kind of in that in between.
Yeah, that's why there's that saying. And let's be transparent here. How much money do you think we put into the podcast?
Like the setup or the time? Like, because it's hard to calculate like the time.
Well, monetarily, we got a quote for $2,000 to build this wall. I luckily built it for like maybe a few hundred dollars, but I put in so much time. So I think the entire set was about $3,000 with the lights. If you're watching,
or
if you're only listening, we have a sign that says ROT and that lights up. It's really cool. Like we have a really cool set and I think it's beautiful. We spent $3,000 on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then how much do you think we've spent on all the podcast equipment? 16?
Yeah, 16, I think 17.
$17,000.
So that about $20,000 in.
We probably put too much money in the like professional camera equipment. It's such great quality that I think it's worth it, but we did spend. I
think that's the only, but to be fair, I do think that's like one of the main reasons and only reasons that's kind of kept us accountable. It's been that extra level of accountability. Like, really? You're going to have this nice equipment and not use it?
Yeah.
If we were just doing a scrappy setup or something like that, maybe it would be a lot harder to be like dedicating the time to it, you know, because we've developed a professional setup. And what do professionals do? They do it whether they want to or not. And they figure it out. They show up. They're professionals.
Yeah.
So I do think it's worth it. But yes, we definitely put money in. And I do think it is a long game as far as building a podcast. And I think there are so many changes that we can make that we've yet to make before we really assess that. I don't know if we want to start getting into that, but I would love to talk about what I think we could do.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Number one.
Okay.
I think something that we've talked about and I think we both would feel better about is changing the name.
Yes, which is something I fucking love the shit out of our jingle that you made us. Like, you're so talented. I don't know how we're gonna top that off.
Trust me, that can be topped off.
But like, it's so catchy. I'm sad to lose it
to you.
I know, I sounded so good on it. Like, my friend Kristen was like, you should be like a singer. I was like,
well, that's because I produced your ass.
Matt,
and I was
fucking,
like,
guys.
You cried.
I cried. Matt wasn't being mean to me. I was just so sensitive to not being good because you're so good.
I thought
good.
You were going to be more, and I totally get it, and that's my fault. I thought you would be a little more comfortable with me, and you were, but I forgot how vulnerable it is putting yourself on the microphone and like singing and doing not only something you've never done before, but it is a very vulnerable thing to have someone listen to you try to sing.
Also, I'm fully aware. I am like probably bottom 1% of singers, like of anybody singing. I'm tone deaf.
I wouldn't say you're that bad, but you're definitely in the lower percentile of people that could match a key.
Yeah. No, I can't.
I remember on our first date, you were like, I think you were kind of trying to show off that you were confident. Because when I look back,
I don't
I'm like,
to show off that I'm confident. I'm just confident.
Okay. But I'm just saying, first date, we're in your car. You were like singing along and it was bad. But I respected the fact that you were singing along. But I was like, I remember legitimately having the thought in my head, I don't think I've ever heard someone like so off.
Okay.
But I appreciated the like the confidence was sexier than the performance.
Well, yeah. So when we started filming or what is it called? Like recording the jingle, I just don't want to go through that process again because it was so mentally, I remember like sleeping like 3 hours for like a nap after I recorded with you.
That's what I do every day.
Because I was just so like mentally drained. Like I'm a confident person, but I fucking know. I can understand when I'm not doing something well and I was not doing it well.
Actually,
not to say
it was. You were doing well. I thought you were doing great, especially for your.
No, I started crying.
Well, that's because it was a new experience and you were uncomfortable and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I definitely lacked the extra sensitivity in that situation. I was being obviously nice to you.
Yeah, you weren't.
But I thought like, oh, you would be super like guard
down. But you were also
being
like honest, like, no, that doesn't sound good. Like, let's try that again.
Yeah, I'm like, let's do it again or bring it up here. And
but I don't know how to, I don't know how to do that. Either way, we do need to change the name. Unfortunately, we know why we have this name. It's called Runaways of the Neverworld because we started an NFT project and guess what, guys? NFTs went to shit. And although I really, really believed in NFTs and I still think it is the future, I don't see where it's going right now being the future because it's very toxic. It's very, very toxic. And I'm sorry if any of you guys got interested in the NFTs because of us.
I think there have been benefits in the time of which we started. And I will say
it's
I believe in NFTs. I still believe in NFTs. I don't necessarily believe in the current market of NFTs as enough time has gone by. And I've seen what a lot of these projects have actually done with money they've raised versus how much we put in with our own money and how little we got out of that. And I'm not going to sit here and like play victim because, you know, you get what you give. And sometimes life is about timing and we miss the timing. And at the end of the day, I'm so proud of what we built. Like I was talking to Andrew the other day and I'm like,
it is such a cool
thinking
project.
About the story, thinking about the characters, like those moments when we received the characters and we're working on the assets and developing the mystery trunk. Yeah. Like that was so amazing.
We had such a cool project. Unfortunately, we got put in a place where it was slightly toxic because of the team members we brought on, not realizing how much impatience and negativity we would receive from like the other team members that were included in our project. But that was us being a little dumb and naive and innocent in the sense where we didn't know how to play the NFT games.
Right.
I didn't realize how much fakeness happened around NFTs and how much it was really like big money putting money into like little projects.
I mean,
projects.
We have friends that, we don't have to get into it. But regardless, that is why we had the name and this beautiful logo that, God, I spent so much time going back and forth over.
You really did.
Like, think about, do you remember how much time last year I was like, no, like, how did the acronyms and the whole thing line up? I was like, but regardless, I think it would have worked out really well if the NFT market didn't go to complete shit. Like, we are one of the few and only projects with fully doxed people that, like, put a professional podcast set up together that's been consistent with it. We're the only people because we always knew in order to make this bigger, it's not going to just be about NFTs. It needs to be about brand building. It needs to like tie in some way as depending on what's going on with the NFT project, we'll tie it in.
Yeah.
But either way, we need to build something, a separate entity. Regardless though, the name, sometimes people don't get it. It's like,
you don't remember it either other than if you've been watching for a while,
right?
Like, how do I spell it again? Or ROTN? Like,
you kind of sounded like the intro. You're like, wait, how did I sound? Or whatever you said.
Or you're like, how do you pronounce it? Like,
Roten?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had someone say that to me. They're like,
what's Roten?
Or yeah, something like that. I'm like, feels like it's pretty obvious that it would be rotten.
I really need you guys to kind of like give us some love. I think I felt. I don't know.
I think I felt I needed you guys to give me
like I need some love. I don't know why I'm like getting teary-eyed. I feel like we've put so much work in it and I just like expected more. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I still get DMs being like, I love your podcast so much. But I think my idea of where the podcast was going to be a year from now is like way bigger. So I'm in the point where I'm like, do I keep doing this? Did you just break something?
I didn't break it, but it definitely.
Okay, well, that made me stop crying. Good. I'm glad that happened. But no, I feel like, I guess we had so many friends that have been able to do so many bigger, better things with their podcasts. But I think the podcast market is very saturated right now. And we just happen to enter at such a bad time.
God, we're so bad with timing.
And what not only that, we actually could have been with us. So we decided to do this independently with Spotify, right? But we actually had a deal with a studio And at the time, we decided not to go that route because we thought we could make more money or we would have more like control over it, doing it independently. And we didn't think we needed that much help with it. And yeah. we weren't willing to give up like 30% of our money to a studio. And I almost feel like we would have been in a better place if we did that. Like, they gave us a deal in June. We launched in November. By January, we were hearing that no studios were picking up any new podcasts. So yeah. we really were at the last bit of studios realizing they don't need more podcasts. So we came into this podcast at such a saturated point. And I like... And it's so sad because we had been thinking about this for 3 years and it took us a while to like get there in our relationship where we felt comfortable starting like a business together or even like opening up in this way. Because like having a podcast is so, so vulnerable. And I was like so excited to be like super open about everything that was happening in my life. And I've definitely shared, maybe a little overshared with like my family or whatever.
In our relationship.
In our relationship, to the detriment of maybe the way people see our relationship, because like I still like see DMs being like, you guys like
are toxic, all you do is fight, like red flags. And
it's like people it's like we like we are honest about how we fight, because right. like a lot of people hide it or they don't talk about it, and I feel like a weight has lifted off of me after we have like a long deep conversation. And maybe we call them fights, but they're like emotional deep arguments. I don't know. Like, they're just like not like
disagreements, bigger yeah, conversations. Yeah, it's not like we're like
emotionally really fighting
and emotional like, conversations about big topics.
Yeah. And so I think people think we literally like fight and like scream at each other.
I think
like,
there's people that think that, but they're a small percentage yeah. with a loud voice. And so it's easy to feel that sort of sentiment is the majority when it's not. Most people aren't going to, it's so much easier for people to say negative things and judge than it is for people to say positive things.
Yeah.
And I think people that are making judgments or being negative or, you know, maybe they don't believe in us, right? Like, I've seen things like, they're not going to last, like these things or whatever it is. It's like they're coming also from a place of their own unhappiness, because you never see someone who's more successful or happy
tearing someone down.
Like, fundamentally, you just don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, people aren't trying to tear you down when they're above you. Like,
absolutely.
Maybe they're also just not used to seeing our dynamic, because right. you know, a lot of people like shove down their feelings and don't talk about them. And
I mean, a lot of podcasts that our relationships are genuinely super fake. Not like they're fake people, but a lot of the persona on camera and everything is super fake.
Yeah, I think we try not to filter how we're feeling, and we genuinely love to debate with one another. Mm-hmm. And maybe people see it as fighting, but we're like, I love to see like your side. And I remember even on our very first date, we were debating on our first date about like, what is it? Like colleges doing
affirmative action.
Yes, affirmative action. And I was like not totally for it and you were for it. And it was like, we've always had this like deep understanding of like wanting to understand the other side.
And I am that way in a confrontational way. And you love
to play devil's advocate, which is sometimes annoys yeah. the shit out of me.
And I see that through my brother, who is like a littler version of me in that way, like on his path of being more mature and growing up, and confrontation being a way to sort of navigate and almost like massage and test your ideas out. Mm-hmm. But it's almost at the expense of the other person. And yes. I realize that like I do like to do that, but I've definitely gotten a lot better at not trying to be confrontational to express my messages. Yeah. If that makes sense. But I think fundamentally we both like to be a little like spicy and like,
I agree. I love that Matt literally broke his mic stand and having to hold his mic right now if you guys are listening to the podcast. But I will say I am very protective over people's opinions about you. Like, I want to protect you. And so it makes me really upset when people don't truly understand you, because they see you playing devil's advocate and they think you have like a certain opinion about something that's not true to who you really are. Because I will say, and this was really cute, and I don't know if Jennifer wants me to say this, but Jennifer and I were talking about you and Andrew, and Jennifer literally started crying, being like, I don't know if I will ever find a husband or like a boyfriend as good as my brothers are. And it was like so adorable she said this, because I don't know if maybe people take you differently like on the podcast. I'm sure they do, because we see the comments and I see the DMs about it. But like truly, you are very kind and understanding and listen to people. Deep down to your core, you're like a very, very good, kind, wholesome person, like very wholesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I know that about myself, and I know that you know that, and I appreciate you so taking the time to say that.
Like,
but I also think that it's like, if you know who you are at the end of the day, then it's not even worth listening to what other people think about you.
No, I know
you.
That, but I'm just so protective of you that I don't like people saying that because I know that's not who, like, I want to stick up for you. Just like, I'm sure if someone was like, Tiffany's a fucking bitch and a cunt and blah, 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 you'd be like, you'd want to stick up for
but
me.
But I will say yes, and I appreciate that. And that means a lot because, like, I love hearing this right now. It's like, keep telling me more.
No.
Right?
I'm going to stop now.
But on the other hand, I do want to say that it is hard sometimes to read negative things that people say when they attack you, for sure. And this podcast has kind of like been the first time that I've really experienced that. Like, I've experienced that with my music.
Yeah.
100% I've experienced that with my music. Like, people literally have said the funniest things to me about my music. Like, this guy's so bad with his hands, he needs to take like hand lessons. Because, you know, when you're rapping, you kind of like, there's like a cadence. I've had people talk shit about my hands, like hand movements.
Maybe I do notice you have stiffer hands.
No, but you're buying into the negative comment. So what I'm saying is that people will comment, wow, maybe I do have weird hand situations. No, but what?
When you're trying to do the peace sign, sorry.
No, lately my hands have been so stiff because of the lifting.
Like, yeah, lifting, I think so that's what it is.
No, but this is years ago. So I'm ultimately just trying to make a point that people will say 80 nice things about my music, be blown away. But then, yeah, there's maybe like 5 to 10 people that will completely hate it. Like, this guy sucks. Like, this is trash. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that definitely, I was able to see, at least with music, because it was something that I felt like I know a lot more about and I'm actually really good at it, that I'm like, yeah, there's going to be way more positive than negative. And with the podcast, maybe I don't see as much of the positive comments because it's not like we get a ton of comments. So I am seeing some negative stuff as well, but it's the first time that I've ever really felt like someone's attacking my character. With music, it's not really like someone's attacking your character. They're just attacking your skill. And I'm like, well, if I know I'm good, I'm not really. But when it's your character and they've listened to you, it is a little bit harder. But through that process, I've also realized, like, you know what? I know who I am. I know people are going to be, you know, skew their perception of you, and they're going to try to throw it back at you and twist it. And who are those people? Like, I'd love to see who that like, I think that those people that are tearing you down or spending the time to, like, make that much of a negative, you know, concerted effort to, like, attack your character, like, let's put them under the spotlight and see who they are. Would they be able to spend 40 plus episodes sitting down and talking about their feelings and their worldviews?
That's true.
Like, I don't think so.
Actually, we got a lot of positive comments about us talking about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, even though we don't know a lot about it. And we were very honest, like, we haven't educated ourselves enough, but we wanted to say something about it. And I did get a lot of personal DMs on my Instagram and stuff. And it's so funny because I feel like I get more positive feedback on my DMs than, like, actually the comments of the podcast. And, like, guys, comment on the podcast. I want everyone to read it. But that is why I'm so protective of you, because you're not used to this. Like, I've been doing this for 14 fucking years. I can handle the character assassinations because I'm used to it. People used to fucking assassinate me by the way I, like, held Zoe in my arms. And I'm like, or, like, the way I treated Zoe, or why haven't I posted enough about Thea? Like, I'm so used to it. But, like, for you, I want to protect you because both of us are very sensitive people in not a negative way, like, in a very, like, healthy way.
I think it's positive and powerful to be sensitive and vulnerable.
So with that being said, I want to protect you from it just because, like, you're my fucking future. Like,
future?
Sorry, that was so weird. Yeah, but, like, you're my future and you're my husband and I care about you. And, like, you're not my husband yet, but why did I say that? But, like,
I liked hearing it.
But you're going to be my husband, right? And it's like, I want to protect you. I think maybe that's also why I haven't gone, like, head down deep into the pod, because I'm like, is this healthy for us? Because, like, people keep tearing down our dynamic, or tearing down you, or tearing down me, or, like, tearing down our views.
We know what we.
I know. And I just it's different when it's, like, just me. Right? Just me posting about this and just me posting about that, right? Versus, like, now it's like a team dynamic where I'm also more concerned about you than myself.
Well, I appreciate that. That was probably one of the sweetest things you've ever said, to be 100% honest. And I'm glad that there's not one, not two, but three cameras.
Oh my God.
And two professional microphones to capture that moment. But I mean, just to assure you, which you know, you definitely don't need to protect me, even though you feel that you do, because I see those things. Yes, I want to protect you. But again, to that point, you've been doing it for so long. It's like I'm entering this space. It's like, how do I protect you from that? But I'll say, like, when I do, whenever I do see something that comes up that's negative, like, at first, if I see it, I'll be like, interesting. Yeah. Fuck them. Like, literally, I don't care what anyone says. And I've had to be that resilient with my music, because putting yourself out there when you're making music is That's very vulnerable. Yeah. Because not only is it like your singing abilities, it's not only like how you sound, it's not only like the professional quality, but it's also your messages and your words. Yeah. And then on top of that, it's like your image. Like, there's so many vulnerable factors that go into like being an artist, that me sitting down and having a conversation and someone wants to attack me, I'm like, I know who I am, that I don't need anybody to not only reinforce how positive I am, I don't need that, just in the same way that I'm not going to listen to the negativity. And that's what I realized with the music when I started putting out music, is like, not only am I going to not listen to the negative stuff, I'm actually not really going to listen to the positive stuff either. Because if you listen so much to the positive compliments, then you have to also take into account the negative stuff. And for me, when I first started putting out music, I had no idea, aside from the biased people around me, right? Like my brother, Mario, my family, my friends, like they're obviously going to be like, holy shit, this is amazing. But until you put it out there, you don't know.
Yeah.
And I was so confident, but I still didn't fully know how it would be received.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I put my music out and I got positive reception for it, I'm like, case closed. It's kind of been confirmed. Now I don't need to, like, you know, spend too much time. And it's not like I don't, because I do appreciate positive messages. And I do, to some degree, take into consideration negative feedback, because that's also something which is an interesting balance of like, okay, at what point do you listen to the feedback because it is constructive?
Yeah.
Which is a tough place to navigate. But I think if you see enough of the same thing and not anything on the other side, then maybe it is something to consider.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, if we are fighting so much, maybe if there's tons of people that are being like, they fight so much on camera, they fight, then it's like, hey, maybe we should like dial it back because it's coming off the wrong way.
Yeah, I think it's like coming off the wrong way.
That's a positive, like that's a negative thing to take into consideration.
And like, we're not trying to stop you guys from giving us constructive criticism at all. Like, give us feedback. Like, I would love it. Like, I'm not like naive that we have things we can like always like improve on.
Yeah. And just, it kind of feels almost like you're harping so much on all the negative things, but obviously people say a lot of positive things about the podcast. Like, I get so many compliments from friends, from family, from random people that are like, I listen to your podcast, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, people actually listen?
I mean, they're like, Allie, wow. I always get DMs from Allie, who is our friend from Denver. I'm like, shocked she listened. So hi, what's up? Or like your dad. Hi, right. Scotty.
My dad is always tapped in.
Yeah.
Literally on Tuesday night, he was, or it was Wednesday.
He was like, where's the fucking podcast?
He's like, where's the podcast? He's like, the podcast didn't. And I was like, oh yeah, about that. But anyways, I think backing up, aside from all the feedback and, you know, positive, negative comments, I think just talking about having the podcast in general, there's a really interesting fucking statistic that I wrote down from Chris Williams' podcast, Modern Wisdom. If you guys are familiar, he's amazing. Love his guests, love his episodes. Did you know that 90% of podcasts don't make it to the third episode? They don't make it past episode 3.
What?
In
three?
Three. In the 10% that make it past episode 3, 90% of those don't make it past episode 20.
So what percentage are we in?
We're in the top percentile of podcasting because we've gone past episode 20. And the point of this statistic is the bar is so incredibly low. To be successful is just a matter of being consistent, because people are so inconsistent. And this is a lot of what Chris Williams talks about, is like, if you look at the landscape of men, if you look at the landscape of like how people are operating, it's really, really low, where as long as you're consistent, you eventually will become successful with what you're doing simply because people just suck and give up so quickly. And I think that it also comes back to kind of like...
But when do we quit?
I think you quit when it no longer... I mean, that's such a good question because I was going to say fulfillment.
Like if you're a bad singer and you are going to... Like when do you quit?
I think you quit when you know that you can't get any better. I think even the professionals, right? Like I think it just takes a lot of like self-awareness, right? Like if you're a bad singer and you're just not self-aware to know what your talent level is... There is a difference between being a bad singer and knowing you're bad and knowing what steps you have to take to become better versus being a bad singer who is not self-aware of the talent they have, thinking they're better than they are and not doing the practical steps to actually get better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think with podcasting, it's like, when do you quit? You quit.
I'm having a mental crisis right now in my own head. Why? I'm like spitting. I'm literally spitting. Like, okay, like, are we self-aware? Like, does a podcast suck? Maybe that's why it hasn't like fucking gotten one sponsor.
There's no way that it sucks because you and I put it together. We know that it's good. We enjoy it.
I don't know. I guess for me, like, I'm so used to being... I think
you're used to getting like...
Yeah. Right.
You're used to that sort of like... You put something out and you get all this like positive reaffirming in very visible progress and success, right? But us all normal people,
I know.
We gotta fucking do the grunt work, and that's fine because that makes it like satisfying and worth it. It's about just being committed. It's about the game. It's about just like showing up and doing it, even when you don't want to do it. And like, we'll look back, I'm sure, like hypothetical, this podcast becomes number one in the world.
Woo!
Right, in like 5 to 10 years, we're gonna look back and be like, damn, do you remember those days where we would like sit there and not wonder if we should keep doing it? And like, what's the word? Like, glorify the past and glorify
nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
I'm not about the past better than it truly was.
And I'm not even saying that, yes. And also, I just think that because it's about the journey, you know, because there's something beautiful about trying to figure it out and it not being great maybe at first.
But at the same time, I think it is very necessary to put a timeline on things, being like, okay, like how long can you do this for? No,
so this is what Alex Hormozi says. Is like, what do you mean you're going to put a timeline on your success? That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, because if you want to commit to being successful, why would you ever put a timeline on it? That means you don't believe that you're capable of making a successful podcast.
No, because I had to give myself a time. Like, here, listen to this. I gave myself a timeline to be a content fucking creator. I gave myself one fucking year after I graduated college. I was like, I'm either going to do this or fucking work 8 to 8 p.m. every single fucking day during busy season while being a consultant. Mm-hmm. At a finance firm. I gave myself a timeline. And with that timeline, I had to put 100% in it. I feel like when people don't give themselves a timeline, they kind of half-ass it because they're like, okay, well, I have time. No, you don't have fucking time. Just like if the goal is to have a baby at 35, and if we have no like goal, it'd be like, oh, we can just do it next year. No, you need to have like some sort of timeline. And I'm saying like, I'm saying we have yet to break even on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how long do we keep doing this?
Okay, but here, back to what you just said, I think there's something really valuable in you're 100% right that if you don't give yourself deadlines to get tasks done and to push yourself, you will be kind of floating in this like half-assed way. But I also think that like say that year came up and you didn't make it in the way that you thought or weren't making as much as your job that you deferred for the year, I don't think you should take the job. Either way, you stick to doing the content. Imagine if you took the job and you gave up on what you wanted to do because of you stuck so much to this timeline you created. That's what I'm saying is that either way, the point that I'm trying to make is that either way, you're going to do it. So who cares about the time? But you make a good...
I don't want to be 60 years old doing a podcast that's never taken off. No. So I guess maybe there are people who work differently. There's this, like, I forget what the fallacy is called, but it's pretty much, do you wait for a bus that's late after it's been 5 minutes late, or do you just start fucking walking? A lot of people, what they'll do is like, well, I've already wasted my time. I already wasted 5 minutes on this. I'm going to just wait. When by the time the bus actually came, they would have been wherever they needed to be faster.
God, this is so interesting because the amount of times that I enter this situation where I'm waiting for a left turn and it's taking too long and I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to go around and go and make a U-turn and then pass. And guess what happens? Almost 80% of the time I do that, I get caught by the light.
That's because you waited too long.
I'm just saying though.
But I'm just saying also, how many times have you waited for a light and then you also could have just like went the other way and made it back by the time in time.
Yes, but I guess my point is like sometimes when you take that extra step to go around, like you might wait even longer.
Exactly. That's yeah. why there's like a whole theory but behind back, like what, you should do.
But back to what you're saying, yes, but you're assuming that at 60 years old, I'm just saying in your theory where you're like, I don't want to be 60 years old.
Do you want to be 60 years old? No, hold on, let me finish.
Being 60 years old doing a podcast that never took off. And I'm saying if you did, in my mentality, it's like if you do a podcast until you're 60, it will take off and be successful.
Okay, well, I wanted to...
You're assuming the rate of success is not going to increase. Imagine if I was
still doing Live and Jess.
I think you'd be fucking crushing it. No. But you're also not factoring... I came to realize
I fucking hate being a boss.
Okay, but also, I don't think that you're factoring in making improvements along the way. You're assuming that you're not going to get smarter, you're not going to get better, you're not going to find better clothes, you're not going to find better ways to do things, and that's simply not true. Like if you were still running Live and Jess, you would have figured out how to make better deals, how to find better manufacturing, how to hire the right employees. And so while maybe you wouldn't have, it wouldn't have been worth it versus what you can make doing YouTube, to say that it would have been the same is not true. Like we always get better. And I don't think you're taking that into consideration when you're talking about being 60 doing the podcast. You're
Look at also us assuming, having a healthy debate right
you're
now.
You're also assuming we haven't figured out how to get sponsors and grow the audience because that is a part of it.
Well, in my head, I want to give us a timeline because I don't want to keep doing something that I am not getting better at. And better mm-hmm. at being what does the output look like? And what is output? Money. Not that like I care about money so much or I'm in desperate need of money. It's just like it doesn't make sense to spend 80% of my time doing something that only pays out 20% when I can spend what?
80% of your time on this podcast?
No, I'm just saying the 80-20 rule. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The 80-20 rule is that you spend 20% of the time doing something that makes 80% of your money.
Yes.
And a lot of times, yeah, right? So like let's be fucking real here. Like we can't upkeep this if it's not making us money. So like when do we say we need to quit?
I think.
And it's scary.
Ooh,
Happy Halloween.
Scary. It's so tough because I have to live in a world where quitting is not an option.
I see that. And I get it. I have so much respect for it. And to your point,
I haven't given myself a deadline. So I kind of am moving at a slower pace and I have been working on increasing that pace, right? But when I look and I just know for myself, the first moment that I picked up a microphone and recorded my voice versus the stuff that I have fully recorded, I have a literal like 6-year log of what, when you don't quit, how much better you get, even when you feel like you don't. And so I like play the music that I make now versus when I started and along the way and even 2-3 years ago. And I'm like, damn, like as much as I get emotional about this like journey and I'm like back and forth, the proof is in the pudding. And so I guess for the podcast, back to wrap it up, like, yeah, we should definitely define that and make some healthy goals. I think there's a lot of things that we should attempt to do before we consider that we've not been able to get those things done. I think doing a rebrand, I think having a full-blown content strategy, coming up with better episodes, getting guests, reaching out to sponsors, those are like literally 5 really good things that we haven't done.
Yeah.
And also, we're in the top percentile. Doesn't that feel good?
Top percentile isn't making us money, baby.
Right. And at a certain point, like the way that I look at it is, number one, I just enjoy doing this. Like at the very bare minimum, I would be sad if we stopped doing this because once a week we sit down and we have to show up and be on a schedule and like work on something together. And for me, I enjoy that. Even if there's moments where I don't, or even if it does feel like sometimes it might be a waste of time, I enjoy the fact that we work on something together and we've found a good balance to work together on something.
Yeah.
But second off, I also look at it like, okay, what does having success in a podcast look like? And is that worth putting this effort in to get there? And I think it's pretty fucking sweet. Like the podcasts that are making good money, like that's worth it. Does that make sense? Or is that just like obvious?
Well, yeah, that's obvious. Like yeah. if you work in any profession, any lane.
No, but I'm saying like how sick is it to like sit down and have a good conversation and have people love your conversations and to be getting paid to have an open discussion. That's a sick job. That's not just
yeah,
like
okay, yeah, you're that's right.
What I
you're
mean.
Right.
That's what I mean.
I want to say sick payoff. I'm so grateful for the amount of subscribers and like listeners we have now. Like I don't care if it's like two people. Like I really do appreciate every single one of you guys
100%.
Who does listen. I don't think whatever I've been saying is me being ungrateful. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, I want to make sure I progress in life and not regress. I came from a poor family and I just never want to be in that place again. And I do understand that time is money. And do I want to spend time doing something that's not making me money? Let's be real. Gratefully, I actually genuinely love sitting down and talking to you for a week. And I would love to do this and just like not even upload it, right? Like whatever the fuck it is. But I want to be realistic with what our goals are in life and how much time we have in our life and where we want to like put our time in every single day. Because once we have babies and once we're planning the wedding and all this and all that, we're going to have so much on our plate that is like
so much good stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Does this make a lot of sense? And I love that this is like a video diary of our last year of what we've been doing, what we've been up to, how we're feeling about things, blah, 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 blah. I love it. That's why I love vlogging still. I just need to be real with one another, right? We just need to be real with one ourselves. And we either need to go all in or get the fuck out. Shit or get off the pot. What do people say now, right?
Yeah.
So because I also have so many fucking lanes, I need to like downsize my lanes. So like not only am I doing the real estate stuff, I'm doing TikTok, I'm doing vlogs, I'm doing Instagram, podcasts.
Trust me, I get it. I'm contracted,
you are
running socials.
Also the
I'm
same way, yes.
Producing for a really dope client.
And like,
I'm doing music. I'm doing podcasting.
And like Alex said, pick a fucking lane and run with it. And it's like, if we're picking podcasts, we need to fucking run with it.
Backing up.
Anyways.
Side note.
What?
What's your favorite scary Halloween movie?
That was so fucking random. I don't know. I love The Purge. It's not like a Halloween themed video, but it's a scary movie.
Yeah.
The Purges. You need to watch all of them.
I only watched one. Yeah.
And that was like the worst. Number one is genuinely the worst Purge.
That's so every rare. Other.
Yeah. No. It's gotten better because they really formatted and figured out the storyline. And it's like actually insane. You have to watch all five. There's five of them.
Yeah.
And I swear it got fucking better every single one. The first one was actually the worst. So we're going to have to watch this when we have the time. Yeah.
Well, my favorite Halloween movie.
Is what?
Is Halloween, Michael Myers.
Oh.
And I realize why do I like it so much is because, and it's always pretty much a tradition, and Jennifer and I haven't done it, and Andrew's kind of joined. He texted us. He's like, when are we watching Halloween? Because every year we like try to get together to watch Halloween. And I realize what I love about it is that it's one, not all Halloween and horror movies have anything to do with Halloween. But Halloween has to do with Halloween, so you get the Halloween vibes because it's like trick-or-treaters, costume, candy,
that's
school,
true.
Babysitters. And yeah. I'm like, that brings me into the Halloween spirit. That's why I love Halloween.
All right, anyways. Well, let us know down below what fucking Halloween movie is your favorite or scary movie. We definitely need to watch some. Also, I hate scary movies, so maybe don't tell us anything.
Yeah.
But that was 50 minutes of us talking about the podcast. Please, like, comment down your fucking feedback, notes, opinions. Like, be honest with us because I genuinely want to know what your guys' thoughts are. And I feel like we haven't given you guys an open space to, like, tell us. So tell us. You're just staring at me.
I'm trying to think of my thoughts.
Also, I feel like this might be, like, the most vulnerable I felt.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like shaking. I'm like, I have the jitters.
I felt like that was a pretty
powerful.
Powerful.
Like, I feel like a weight has lifted that we finally talked about.
It was like lethargic.
Lethargic.
It was cathartic.
Lethargic.
I said lethargic. Lethargic?
Cathartic, yeah. It was very cathartic. And that's why I genuinely like filming the podcast. I feel like I can talk about things and get things off my chest. But at the same time, it's also like a scary place to be in, to be this vulnerable.
Yeah, I agree. Well, happy Halloween.
Yeah, give us those 5 stars, baby, if you guys haven't already.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next Tuesday. No, you got to say see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
P.S. That stands for cunt if you guys did not figure it out.
Which, by the way, was one of the podcast names you came up with a while ago. See you next Tuesday.
Should we call it See You Next Tuesday?
now that we're thinking of new names and rebrands, maybe we should. Or we could come up with a way better name.
Actually, leave us some...
That's what I wanted people to do, but you've already asked three different comments.
You know, just fucking comment for every single thing. Yeah, maybe we'll ask next week, or you can just let us know now.
Give us some good ideas.
Yeah.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, bye, guys.